This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're back today with our special guest, Dr. Phil Giuliani, who's been sharing with us his testimony and story. Before we jump into it today, I want to remind you tonight on EWTN television, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time was Crossing the Goal. If you'd like to know more about this show, Fire on the Earth, War Crossing the Goal, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. That's renewalministries.net. All our TV shows, all our radio shows are archived there, as well as information about the mission work that we're doing throughout the world. People call in occasionally, want to know more about what we're doing. That's the best place to find that information. If you have questions, you can contact me. My phone number is on there and my email as well. But welcome back, Dr. Phil.
Well, thanks, Peter. Great to
It's great
back.
To have you. Boy, that was a great, great show yesterday. And you were just talking about the experience of, for those who may be tuning in right now, they're listening in their car, they didn't hear what you said yesterday. I'm not asking you to do the whole show, but just that moment briefly, we were talking about you had been really questioning and trying to understand what happened when Jesus died on the cross and looking at it from an intellectual point of view. You were out walking. You weren't exactly even praying, but you were honestly seeking.
I was searching.
You were seeking. And what happened?
Yeah, I was thinking in an intellectual way. Yeah. Keeping in mind what I had heard on the radio about your sin being transferred to this lamb and this poor lamb having his throat cut just because I had done something wrong. That's what really started the search. Because that's what intrigued me was when the guy said, well, what did the lamb have to do with your sin? And the answer, of course, is nothing. I was the sinner. I had to pay for that. But this lamb died instead of me. And so that's what intrigued me. So as we said, in summary, it was like about, I think it was about 2 weeks thinking about who was Jesus, what did he do, why did he do it? The why did he do it was what intrigued me. And as much as I knew about Jesus being Messiah, being Savior, being the God-man, being a great teacher, being a great, whatever, like a lot of people say, well, he was a great teacher, great moral philosopher. Too bad they killed him. Wrong. That's a wrong conclusion. But, I didn't have that in my mind, but I was trying to figure out why he did this. Because I knew he did it willingly. I knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew that those guys didn't force him to do it. Because they could have killed him some other time. But everything with God is at an appointed time, in due time.
Mm-hmm. Even this was his the fullness birth. Of time.
Even his birth, that's right. In Isaiah, it talks about how he was born of a woman, born under the law, at the appointed time. Mm-hmm. So when I was doing this walk in this kind of snowy woods and wet snow all over the place, and I had this hostility and resentment and all this like negative stuff, like literally flow out of my head. Mm-hmm. And my mind was opened by the Holy Spirit who showed me. I mean, all I can say is I saw this in a way, I didn't see it visually, but I saw this mentally in a way that he had taken my sin on him and that he who did not know sin had become sin. In Galatians 3:13 says he becomes the curse.
Yeah.
Which, blew me away, but somehow I got that. I understood that before I even read it. I couldn't have told you Galatians compared to Romans or Ephesians or Revelation. None of that stuff meant anything to me until that night. But even though I couldn't have told you the background, I understood in my mind what that was, what Paul wrote about. And all of a sudden I realized that this is my salvation, that I'm saved by this, that I'm not working my way through the door. I'm not trying to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm not getting, quote, points for going to the hunger center or doing whatever. This is the way of salvation.
Yeah, and a person.
Person.
Yeah, Jesus
and
of Nazareth.
Yeah. Act. Yeah. And the blood of it, and as you mentioned yesterday, from the book of Romans, it says, the wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned, therefore all men die. Mm-hmm. And that kind of came to me, I didn't know the scripture verses, but I kind of understood that. And I stood there kind of, I don't want to say dumbfounded, because I felt terrific. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly started to confess things, to him.
Yeah.
Like, all this horrible past stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and like we said yesterday, like a lot of people, I would have said, well, I've never killed anybody, and I never robbed a store, and I never.
Yeah.
But everybody does plenty of other stuff.
Sure.
And like this
stuff. Well, even you're describing, just to help people understand, you're describing for us the first show how cynical you were for years about the church and about people in the church, and you mocked it, and you ridiculed it.
Yes.
You mocked it to your children, you know, your children. You told the kids it's a bunch of kooks. You don't need to live that way. I mean, for years and years, you were describing you were living that way. You were talking that way. On the same hand, you were being a humanitarian guy and helping do good things for people. Yeah. But there was something about the faith side and all that you really resisted. And
I forgot to mention that the day of my son's first communion, I told the priest off in front of the whole communion class. Because he said something that upset me.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it. I just did it.
Yeah.
Because that's how I lived my life.
So that's some of when the Lord drew near.
Yeah.
And he opened your heart. You went from the generic fact that Jesus died for our sins. The Holy Spirit helped you see, wait a minute. Yeah. He died for my sins.
Exactly.
He died for me.
Yeah. That's a great
summary. That's really what happened to me.
Yes. I mean, that's really what happened.
So therefore, he's not the Savior, just the Savior. He's my Savior.
Yes.
And guess what? I needed a Savior.
That's right.
Wow. And then when the Holy Spirit opens your mind, you start saying, oh my goodness, look at me.
Yeah.
In the light of the beauty and the love and the truth that is God and the wonder that is God. Look at my attitude, my passions, my drives, the way I've treated people, the things I've done. And you said you just began to start confessing things to the Lord.
I started confessing stuff. And I have to say, I was happy. I felt great. I was sobbing.
Yeah.
I remember I had on this pair of jeans, and you know, my jeans were all wet. So I actually was like kneeling down in the snow. I mean, if somebody would have come by, they would have probably called the police and said there's like some crazy person in the woods over there, and they would have come and got me. But I was all wet. So I was on my knees and I was sobbing. I was happy. I was confessing things, and I understood the cross.
Yeah.
And that was the amazing thing was, the irony of it was, I was trying to figure it out intellectually.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit filled me and showed me what it was.
Yeah.
Right down to, like, I would read later on as I studied scripture, I would say, wow, I kind of knew that. You know, somebody would say something and a scripture verse would come to my mind. I didn't know anything about the Bible.
This is why, Paul, you quoted, you know, Paul talks about the cross is the power of God. It's the foolishness, the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
But it's the power of God. And you just think for a minute, what does he mean? Well, he means here you are straining for some kind of understanding of what happened.
Yeah.
You're relying on your own power and your own resources, your own mind. And the gospel, the message of the gospel penetrates you at a certain point. And here's this proud, successful physician who had the answers for everything. On your knees, in the woods, soaking wet in the winter, crying like a baby.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because the gospel has the power to reveal God's plan.
Yeah.
And in that, bring you into salvation, bring you the knowledge of God, the knowledge of a personal God who knows and loves you and who's rescuing and saving you. That's power. That's what
they
said. That's why the apostle said, look, I don't care. You call it foolishness. You're right.
Absolutely.
It is foolishness to the world. But this has got the power to do the thing you need.
Yeah.
You need to come to the Lord through faith and to change your life. And it's only by his grace you can do that.
Yeah. And I hope we get a chance to talk more about that. But that's exactly what happened, because there was a transition that took place actually that night, where I went from this scientific, I know stuff. I've been through college and I've been through graduate school. I've been through medical school. I did medical training. So therefore, I'll tell you, you know, what the truth is. I don't particularly care what, you know, you're going to tell me. This is what I'm going to tell you, and this is what's important.
I know best.
I know best, because you know what?
I'm smarter than most people.
Smart,
But
then I realized, and again, it was back, I didn't know anything about Paul, and knew who he was, but I didn't know anything about him. But now, you know, he's my hero. Like when I get to heaven, I want to take him to Starbucks and, you know, talk for a while. But maybe for a few hundred years. But well, there won't be any years.
You know, your friend Paul says right there in 1 Corinthians, he says God chose to bring that power through the foolishness of
preaching.
Why? To reduce to nothing those who think they're something.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was getting to.
Okay.
And it's like he says, you know, he says, how many times in the epistles does he say, there's no boasting?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a really smart guy. And if you read Philippians 3, for example, he lists some of his qualifications. I mean, here was a guy.
Big time.
Went to the temple probably right after his bar mitzvah, studied with Gamaliel, the chief rabbi of the first century, learned all this stuff. He says, there was no one more zealous for the law than I. No one was advancing in Judaism more than I. He was a Hebrew of Hebrew, Pharisee of Pharisees, tribe of Benjamin, did all the stuff.
Had the great bloodlines, was in the inner circle,
did all this stuff.
Mover shaker.
And he says, now, that's all loss compared to knowing Christ. It's all rubbish. And of course, you probably know the Greek word there is manure.
Yeah.
But it's not nice to write manure in the scripture, so they wrote rubbish.
Or to use a four-letter word on the radio.
That's right. Yeah. So, and this is what happened to me. There's no boasting. Because we don't have anything to boast about.
And, literally. Yeah.
We don't have anything
what
to boast
about.
What
are you going to boast? What are you going to boast? What do you have to boast in?
That's right.
I mean, because everything, at the end of the day, without God's intervention,
yeah,
you end up food for worms. I mean, that's
exactly
it. That's the end of it all,
exactly.
Basically. Or ultimate judgment. I mean,
exactly. So, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be in heaven someday with a group of people, and one guy's going to say, oh, you know, I was a nuclear physicist and I did all this stuff. And the next guy's going to say, oh, well, you know what? I was a physician and I did all these things. And another guy's going to say, oh, I was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And the other guy's going to say, gee, I was just a janitor. No, because nobody's going to be boasting.
Yeah.
Because everybody's there the same way.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to boast.
Yeah. I mean, what Paul's saying is, he's not saying, what I did it because I was a rabbi, it was a bad thing.
Right.
But in light of who Christ is,
exactly,
in light of what I've received, what I used to think was big stuff,
that's right,
trophies and ornaments and things like that,
now
it's nothing.
Rubbish.
It's just nothing compared to what God's given
me. And that's what I realized. I loved my job. I mean, other than my wife and kids, I loved my job more than anything else.
Yeah.
And if somebody would have said to me, if you go to work tomorrow, you're going to die, I would have gone.
Hmm.
I mean, I've taken two sick days since 1979. I love work. Mm-hmm. I used to go on vacation and count how many more days till I went back to work. I mean, I loved it. And
you needed salvation.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. And because, you know, it was kind of an idol.
Yeah.
I-D-O-L, not L-E. But on the other hand, you know, I just really enjoyed doing it.
Sure.
But now I realize that's nothing. And now people go, oh, but you're a physician. I said, that's nothing. I don't care.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that I am.
Yeah, it's my job, and I'm going to do it well for the Lord. And
I preach in churches, and I do a lot of things in different homes and churches and conferences. And I never say I'm a doctor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're the doctor or the janitor, because the truth is the truth, and it's not about us.
Yeah. And what's really amazing about our lives, what's breathtakingly awesome about our lives, is that God has, by his design, by his decision, has made us a temple.
Yeah.
He's come to dwell in us.
Yeah.
And that he's given us the hope of glory. And that's the treasure.
That's
Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the only thing worth boasting about in your life. I mean, that's your true treasure.
And in 2 Corinthians, he says, we have this glory in earthen vessels. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah.
Well,
I think we have more. There's even more you could do. Can you come back tomorrow? Let's finish it up. Yeah, I'm going to get another week out of you before this is all done, as long as you're in town, you know, coming back and forth. So, Dr. Phil, it's been, maybe I should just say Phil, huh?
Yeah.
No,
oh,
Dr.
Yeah,
Phil, it's
yeah,
been
yeah.
great that you can be with us and share your story. We're going to continue this story tomorrow. Just want to remind you again, don't forget about Crossing the Gold tonight on EWTN television on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But until tomorrow, this is Dr. Phil and Peter saying God bless you. Open your heart fully and let the Lord tell you that you are chosen, that he loves you, that he set you apart for his kingdom. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.